Today is July 1st, 2026. This is your functional health briefing for patient. In the next 6 to 8 minutes, we'll explore hidden cardiovascular risk signals your standard tests may be missing, what heat and inflammation are doing to your body right now, and why older women may actually have more fitness upside than younger ones. Here's something worth sitting with before we go anywhere else. You are not a passive recipient of your health. You are an active participant. Every question you ask your doctor, every glass of water you drink, every time you choose to move your body, those are acts of self-advocacy. And today's conversation is about giving you more language, more awareness, and more tools to do exactly that. Let's start with the heart, because some of the most important signals it sends are also the easiest to dismiss. According to the physicians on the Dr. Sunil Tan panel, heart attack symptoms don't always look the way we expect them to. They can show up as unusual fatigue, a choking sensation, heartburn that eases when you rest, or even a sore throat that only appears during physical effort. One patient's only warning before a cardiac event was a choking feeling. Nothing more dramatic than that. The pattern to watch for, and the cardiologist on that panel was very specific about this, is what they call exertional symptoms. Anything that appears or gets worse during physical activity and then improves with rest deserves real attention, not rationalization. It's probably just stress. Prompt medical attention. What makes this even more important to understand is that the most dangerous arterial buildups are often the ones that don't show up on standard testing. The cardiologist described what are called soft plaques, fatty deposits inside artery walls that may represent only a 20 to 30% blockage. These plaques can rupture suddenly, triggering a clot that takes an artery from partially blocked to completely blocked in moments. And here's the part that stops you in your tracks. A standard stress test can be completely normal just days before this happens. So what can you do? The physicians on that panel recommend asking your provider about 3 specific advanced markers that are underused but not exotic. The first is apolipoprotein B, often shortened to ApoB, which counts the small, dense particles that burrow directly into artery walls. The second is lipoprotein A, sometimes written as LPAA, a genetic marker present in roughly 1 in 5 people that makes LDL cholesterol particles stickier and more dangerous. The third is a fasting insulin test, paired with something called the HOMA-IR calculation, which can detect insulin resistance long before your blood sugar numbers ever look alarming. These are real conversations to have with your provider, and we'll come back to a simple way to start that conversation at the end of today's briefing. Now let's bring in the heat, because with summer arriving, there's a layer to this story that's easy to underestimate. A physician featured on YouTube explains that during heat waves, your body is actually managing 3 simultaneous challenges at once. First, dehydration, which stresses your cells and fuels inflammation. Second, reduced movement, because when it's too hot to go outside, many of us move less, and muscle loss can set in more quickly than most people realize, bringing its own wave of inflammatory signals with it. And third, something called oxidative stress, a state where unstable molecules called free radicals are outpacing your body's ability to neutralize them. Think of oxidative stress like this. Imagine your body as a kitchen, and free radicals are small fires breaking out on the countertops. Antioxidants are the fire extinguishers. In hot conditions, more fires start, so you need more extinguishers. The physician's practical guidance is straightforward. Aim for 10 to 15 glasses of water on hot or active days. Replenish electrolytes, sodium, potassium, and magnesium, because you lose all 3 through sweat. And load your diet with antioxidant-rich foods. Fresh wild blueberries were described as a particular daily staple, with 1 serving potentially containing more antioxidants than 5 servings of most other fruits and vegetables combined. One important note, though, choose whole fruit over juice. The fiber in whole fruit meaningfully changes how your body processes natural sugars, and that matters. Magnesium comes up again and again across today's sources, and it's worth slowing down on it. Research suggests magnesium deficiency is far more common than routine testing detects, and it plays a meaningful role in heart rhythm stability. The cardiologist on the DHAN panel specifically named magnesium glycinate as the most bioavailable supplemental form. Dr. Stephanie Estima, speaking on the diary of a CEO, echoes this, recommending 250 milligrams at lunch and 250 milligrams in the evening to support sleep, muscle recovery, and relaxation. Both sources agree. Always talk to your provider before starting supplementation, especially if you have kidney concerns or take medications. Now let's talk about something that runs quietly underneath all of this stress. The cardiovascular physicians on the DHAND panel explain that elevated cortisol, your primary stress hormone, directly damages artery walls and contributes to the kind of plaque instability we described earlier. It's not metaphorical. Chronic stress has a physical address inside your cardiovascular system. Elle McPherson, speaking on the Dr. Will Cole podcast, describes unprocessed emotional stress as something that can show up physically, contributing to what she calls cellular tension and inflammation. She draws on a field called psychoneuroimmunology, which is the study of how the mind and nervous system interact with immune function. This isn't mysticism. It maps directly onto what's known about the cumulative physical cost of prolonged stress responses. And speaking of the mind-body connection, Ido Portal and Dr. Andrew Huberman in a conversation on the Huberman Lab podcast offer a reframe of movement that I find genuinely useful. Portal's argument is that the body and brain are always either becoming more capable or gradually simplifying. There's no neutral. And the quality of awareness you bring to everyday activities, not just dedicated workout time, shapes which direction you're heading. Dr. Huberman referenced research from Stanford showing that the brain region associated with willpower physically enlarges when you consistently do things you'd rather avoid. Small, repeated acts of gentle persistence. Choosing to move when you don't feel like it. Choosing to drink water instead of reaching for something else may literally be building your capacity for self-direction. For women specifically, Dr. Stephanie Estima offers a reframe that deserves to land clearly. She notes that approximately 97 to 98% of women do not have the hormonal environment to build significant muscle bulk from strength training. Yet fear of bulking up keeps many women away from exactly the resistance work that protects bone density, supports cardiovascular efficiency, and preserves muscle into later decades. Here's the data point that stopped me. Women with an average age of 58 who followed a sprint protocol for 8 weeks achieved a 10% improvement in VO2 max. That's how efficiently your body uses oxygen, alongside a 69% improvement in mitochondrial efficiency. The comparison group of 18 to 30-year-olds, 49%. Older women outperformed younger women on the efficiency gain. Dr. Estima's conclusion, older women have more upside to gain, not less. So let's bring this all together into something you can actually do today. One step, no cost, no equipment required. Pay attention to your water today, not as a chore, but as an act of care. Keep a glass nearby from the moment you wake up. If plain water feels unappealing, add a slice of lemon. If you've been sweating, eat something with potassium and magnesium, a banana, a handful of leafy greens, or some pumpkin seeds alongside your water. In heat, aim for 10 to 15 glasses. That's it. One gesture, repeat it through the day, telling your cells they are supported. And if you want to take one more step before your next provider visit, write down this question. I'd like to ask about apolipoprotein B and fasting insulin. That's the whole question. That one conversation could open a meaningful door. A quick safety note before we close. Everything in today's briefing is educational, a starting point for conversation with your healthcare provider, not a substitute for personalized medical advice. If you experience chest pressure, unusual shortness of breath, nausea, dizziness, or any symptom that appears during activity and eases with rest, please seek medical attention promptly. And if you're managing kidney disease, heart conditions, or medications that affect your electrolyte levels, check with your provider before changing your fluid or supplement routine. Your body is in constant conversation with you. Today's invitation is simply to listen a little more carefully and to trust that what you do with what you hear actually matters. You've got this. Take care of yourself. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.